Today's episode is brought to you by Radcasters Podcasting School. If you've ever thought about starting a podcast, but perhaps you don't think you have enough time, you think you have to spend a whole lot of money on expensive gear, or you're a bit scared, or you don't think you have enough time, then I've got a bit of something that I've put together for you. Through my teaching and mentoring in Radcasters Podcasting School, helping people get their show live in iTunes, I've come to discover that there's four key things or four key hurdles that people put up between them and the clear path to podcast success. And I've created a four-part video series which covers them all and what you can do about them. So if you're interested, head on over to Radcasters and sign up for our newsletter, and I'll see you in your inbox. Welcome to the Carlosophies podcast with me, Carly Nimmo. This is a free flow combo. I had an interesting session today that I wanted to share with you guys because it was incredibly eye-opening and a really powerful exercise. Anyway, how it came about is I have been working with one of my Radcasters clients, Adam Gibson from the Entrepreneurs Menshet, and I got his podcast live, and he's giving me some coaching, I'm working with him now, and it's just been really eye-opening, confronting. Let me just go straight into it, right? So today we sat down to talk about, you know, I felt like I really needed some help figuring out what I want, right? Like around me, I see a lot of people who have this great product, or there's, you know, one person in particular, I have this fantastic product, but it's just not flying. And I just had this intuitive hit that it was because they weren't asking for what they wanted. And then I realized, hang on a second, I'm not really asking for what I want because I'm not really clear on what I want. I mean, I know some things, like, you know, I want to own a beautiful house where I live, in the town where I live and overlooking the ocean, and do some traveling and do some work that's meaningful. But beyond that, like, you know, I wanted to have some clear kind of goals. Anyway, we'd sat down and we're talking. Now, there's two lessons in this, I think. And the first one is what I'll talk about now, which is what I hit up against while we were doing it. Money blocks. And I think I've spoken about money blocks once before. But I didn't really, like, I couldn't really pinpoint what my problem was. Sometimes I don't think you need to pinpoint the exact moment when something became a belief in order to bust it. I just think you need to be aware, you know, and we have blinders on a lot of the time, so we can't actually see what's happening. So anyway, we started talking about money and what I wanted, what I would feel comfortable with coming in that was kind of profit, what I needed per month in order to feel comfortable and to afford the things that I wanted to. And, you know, I said, oh, probably about 10 grand a month. And he was like, okay, well, let's look at ways that you could bring that in. So we talked about, different ways that I could make that and the quickest ways that I could make that with the least amount of effort. And this, I just felt this huge resistance. I couldn't pinpoint it. I didn't know what it was about. I just felt a lot of resistance about anything that he kind of put out there. Coaching, you know, I've always wanted to do coaching, but there's something in me that feels like I can't provide enough value. And, you know, I ran a mastermind once before. It didn't have a great uptake. And although I enjoyed it, it was very clear. Well, at that time, I felt great responsibility for the people who I was coaching, and their outcomes were kind of a reflection of my worth as a coach, and their outcomes weren't validating, you know, me, really, because they were just as lost and confused as I was in the whole thing. And so, but, you know, and I've just started in the last 6 months, I've started working one-on-one with people to get their podcast off the ground. And that has been extremely challenging too, because there's a lot of, like, I feel like I'm kind of dragging people over the line. We're not skipping along holding hands, which is kind of the feeling that I want, not that dragging along feeling. And I've always had this thing about responsibility and, you know, money equals obligation. And anyway, so we just weren't getting anywhere really fast. And so he does this thing called Psych K, which helps to balance beliefs. And so we kind of thought we'd do a balance around what the resistance was. And it was really about freedom for me. Like, I feel like as my business grows and expands and the more money that comes in, the bigger my sense of duty, the bigger the obligation, the more responsibility, and the more boxed in I feel. And for me, I'm a big creator. I love to be in the creative process. I love to be constantly starting new projects. That's what I love to do. And so working with someone over a period of a year or 6 months, it feels restrictive to me. It doesn't feel free, you know. So we ended up identifying that I had this real block around money bringing freedom. And so we tried to balance it and it just wouldn't go. It wouldn't go. And we kind of figured out that it was like, you know, my subconscious had absolutely no idea what that meant. Money brings freedom. It couldn't reconcile it because it actually doesn't know what it means. You know, and I've done a lot of talk about this in previous podcasts about identifying what things mean and redefining them for yourself so that then you can live aligned with your version of freedom or your version of wealthy or your version of success or your version of failure. You know, you need to define those things for yourself so that then, you know, they're not defined by somebody else. And so anyway, it didn't balance. And so he set me some homework. And the first one was an exercise that I just wanted to share with you guys. And the reason that I started talking today, he basically got me to write down 36 reasons or 36 responses to, if money was a person, it would. And so he was like, you'll probably get to 6 and then be really stumped. Well, you know, I could have gone to 600. But what became very, very clear was that I have a really horrible relationship with money. Dysfunctional. Like, clear avoidance. And I've seen this show up in my life, throughout my life. You know, like even at the beginning of my working life, I remember there was a point where I was like 19, I had moved out of home and I actually I wasn't even 19, I think I was just turned 18, maybe even younger than that. No, I must have been 18 because I went and got finance for a queen size bed. And the bed was about $500. And so I took out one of those 0% deposit things, zero interest, zero deposit, for 24 months or whatever it was, and bought the queen bed home and never paid a payment for those 24 months because, hello, it was a free bed, you know. And of course it wasn't, because after those 24 months I had to pay 22% interest. So it was absolutely not a free bed. And you know, I've had that all my life, you know, where I've taken out a loan to pay off another loan, and then I'm stuck with another loan to pay off this loan and another loan to pay off that credit card. And or borrowing some money to pay off a credit card, but then spending that money and not actually paying off all of the credit card. So then I'm just in more debt, you know. And recently I cleared all of my debt. I have no credit cards. I sold a house for less than I bought it, but we managed to, you know, get a little bit of in the bank because of all the money that we paid off over the 7 years that we had it. And so, you know, I don't have debt anymore because I don't like it. But what ends up happening to me is every time the ATO, every quarter, I don't have enough money to pay my tax bill. And I feel a bit weird talking about it actually, but I want to because I think it's a discussion that we don't talk about enough, you know? So every quarter I'm stretched and I feel sick because I don't know how I'm going to pay that tax bill. I always find the money. But here's the thing, it's like I'm always just stealing from here to give to here. There's no ease, there's no flow, there's no abundance. It's just kind of survival. And so anyway, back to that exercise. Adam got me to write down the 36 things that came up for me when I say the phrase, if money were a person, it would. And I won't use some of the language that I used. Well, because one was the C-bomb. But the other ones were like, you know, if money was a person, it would be a selfish bitch. If money was a person, it would be arrogant. If money was a person, it would have no friends. If money was a person, I would avoid it at all costs. If money was a person, like, it was just horrible and eye-opening because I was looking at this and I was just like, what the hell? And now that I've done that exercise, I can see that money is none of those things. It's none of those things. But I guess the point of the exercise was to identify how I really feel about money. And making it a person means that, you know, it gives it personality. Because if you had asked me how I felt about money, I would say, oh yeah. I probably wouldn't say anything because I didn't really have any feelings about money. It was just money, you know. But when I describe it as a person, I can see that, wow, you know. And it's not like I thought money was, it sounds like it, but I hadn't thought about it as a person or as an energy. I didn't have this underlying belief that money was evil or anything like that. I just had an idea about how I would be if I had money. Lots of money. So I thought it was a really interesting exercise. And it really translates to other things, right? So if my marriage was a person, it would be. If, you know, my relationship with my child was a person, it would be. If my house was a person, it would be. If my job was a person, it would be. If my business was a person, it would be. You know, if you can add some kind of personality to it, then I think you know, for me, my intention is always to treat people, you know, almost better than I treat myself. And I very much can say I feel completely congruent in that. That is the way I treat people, the way that I would want them to treat me, with love, respect, dignity, compassion. But those things like money, a house, whatever, my business, they don't have the same human qualities. So therefore, I don't treat them the same as I would treat a person. When everything is energy, right? So a person is energy, money is energy, a house is energy, my business is energy, my relationships are energy, they're energy of myself and they're the energy of the other person combined to make a separate energy. So how does that separate energy feel? What does it act like? What does it do? You know, I think it really helped me to put a human twist on it. Because when I had finished writing that list, and then I looked at, you know, when I reach the goal, or when I actually believe that money is freedom, how will I know? What will that look like? And the things that money would give to me are actually, you know, the things that I want. So if money can give me that, is money, you know, a selfish prick? Has money got a small dick? That was one of them. Money's got a small dick. You know, there were, like, if money was a person, it would have a small dick, was one of the things that I said. And is that true? Look, I don't really know. But I imagine now that I can see that actually money would give me, you know, how will I know that money is freedom? When will I know that? How will I know that it's something that I believe, and that what will it look like when my money relationship is healed? Well, you know, it'll look like the things that I actually want in life, which are to be, you know, have a, you know, a truly value home. I've said this a lot throughout my podcast, to have a home that really represents me, you know, that has beautiful glass windows that face the ocean, that has a, you know, an outdoor studio where I can record my podcasts, and, you know, those are things that actually my relationship with money can bring me. If I love it, if I care for it, if I treat it with respect, if I treat it with compassion, if I treat it as I would a human being in my life, you know? So, yeah, just a really interesting perspective on looking at or identifying your money blocks, because I really struggled with that. You know, it was like, what money memories do I have? And, you know, I have a lot of really good money memories. I remember, one of the questions that I had to do as part of my homework was to think about a time when I did feel like, you know, what would, you know, money with freedom bring to, you know, how would it make me feel? And the answer was alive and wealthy. And really, I have felt that in my life, you know? And I remember as a kid, my parents had a boat, a speedboat, and we would go to Bonnie Doon, where we had a holiday kind of farm, and that was on the weir. And I would feel alive and free and rich, you know, sitting in Dad's boat, jumping off into the water, swimming around, doing some water skiing, going back, camping. You know, I felt alive, I felt wealthy, and so, you know, I know those feelings, and I know how they look and feel. I guess the crux of it really is, so, you know, so it was like, I do have obviously some issues around that probably have been stemmed from my childhood and things that I've heard my parents say, and, you know, those kind of beliefs around money are definitely formed from somewhere. I wasn't born believing that money was a selfish bitch. That's something that, or money was a show off, or money had a small dick. You know, they're things that I've definitely learnt from places. But I think it doesn't really matter where I learnt it. What matters is that I change it. That I change it into something useful and positive. So, you know, that's what I'm working on at the moment, really diving deep into my blocks and my relationship with money, and and looking to fix that. And, you know, I really honestly think that that represents everything is energy and everything, you know, like I was talking in a previous free flow, that we are everything, that we are God, that, you know, so obviously if I'm feeling this way about money, or if I have this hidden kind of beliefs about who money is, then there's that obviously lives inside of me too. So, you know, if I was feeling 100% at home within myself, I wouldn't be having these feelings about something external, is really what I'm saying. So, but this is all just one big healing journey, isn't it? Like, that's what life is. It's an opportunity to learn and grow and try things. And, you know, for me, it's like, it really is an opportunity to learn and grow. If I'm not learning and growing every day, I just don't see the point. I want to be learning and growing new things every day. I'm the onion that is never going to be completely unraveled, you know. There's always going to be another layer, and I'm always going to be looking for that next layer. So, yeah, I guess, like, the takeaway is really, if there's an area of your life right now that you're struggling with, and there has to be, whether it is your relationship, whether it's like, you know, your relation, say you want to have a baby, then, you know, have a look at what's getting in the way of that by perhaps looking at it as a relationship, as a person. And is there something there that isn't aligning? Like, for me, obviously, if I think money is a selfish bitch that I need to avoid at all costs, it's never going to be coming to me in abundance, because there's that disconnect there. I don't want it, because then I am these things and I don't want to be those things. So, you know, I think it's really important to look at that and maybe give it some human elements so that you can then look at it more objectively, as in a person, you know? And how would I heal a relationship with someone? I mean, to be honest, if there was actually someone like that in my life, I wouldn't have anything to do with them. And that's kind of why I'm in this big avoidance mode with money, because I obviously don't want anything to do with someone like that. So I need to reframe that and, like I said before, look at the ways that money could be something else. Maybe I've got it all wrong. You know, is it really true? No, it's not really true. It is just money. What we attach to it is what keeps it away or brings it closer to us. So, you know, and it's the same with whatever it is, looking for your man, having your ideal home, you know, bringing a child into your life. Like, look at what is within you that's stopping it, because everything that we want and need is there already. We've just got to get out of the way. Until next time, peace out.
Thanks for tuning in to this Carlosophies Free Flow Combo with me, Carly Nimmo. Let's continue the conversation at carlynimmo.com. If you were a big fan of this podcast, I'd be stoked if you left a review. And if you want to hear more radness like this, be sure to subscribe and spread the word. In the meantime, be real, be rad. Peace out.